Welcome to the OCR A-Level Psychology Podcast. Find out more at www.ocr.org.uk.
Hello, I'm Stephen Reicher. Falling over the cable already. I'm going to give you some context to the study that we did. Alex is then going to talk about the study itself. And then I'm going to conclude with some of the more general implications of the study. So I want to start off by explaining to you the question which motivated us, the question which led us to do our research, why we think that question is so important, and also why we think people up to now have been asking the wrong question, and therefore their answers, to some extent, have been irrelevant to the major phenomena. The sensibility, not only of the social sciences, I think of our society more generally, over the last half century and more, has been framed by the shadow of the Holocaust. The question that has haunted us, which has dented confidence in modernity, is how could that happen? How could that be? How could this slaughter take place? Now, of course, in the immediate aftermath of World War II, the obvious explanation is people who do monstrous things are themselves monstrous. But then a shift takes place, a fundamental shift takes place, and it's a shift from an individual level explanation to, if you like, a group level explanation, a systemic explanation which says, look, in some ways, anyone can do it. And the figure who is best associated with that is Stanley Milgram and, of course, his Yale studies on obedience. These started in the early 60s. In 1961, Milgram, in his Yale laboratories, was doing these very famous studies, which I'm sure I don't need to explain to you because you will know them already. This artificial situation, in a sense, is replicated at the same time, halfway around the world, in Jerusalem. If you think about our contemporary understanding of the Holocaust, I think this picture encapsulates it. It's the picture of Adolf Eichmann in the glass booth, the bureaucrat of the Holocaust, the man who made the trains run on time, the man who organized mass death. And sitting in the courtroom with him, amongst others, is the then reasonably young German-Jewish social thinker, philosopher, author of studies on totalitarianism, Hannah Arendt. And Hannah Arendt looks at what's happening and says, look, people would expect this man who has done such terrible things, again, to be a terrible person, to have a particular personality. But what did they see? They saw this slight, balding, fastidious man, carefully taking notes, hunched over like the typical bureaucrat. And what she draws from this, and these are the final words of her book, only once she uses the term banality of evil, but it's stuck. She talks about the lesson of the fearsome word and thought-defying banality of evil. A phrase, again, which is redolent, a phrase which defines contemporary understanding and contemporary sensibility. When it comes to explaining the obedience studies, Milgram only comes to an explanation 13 years later, 1974, when he publishes his famous book, Obedience to Authority. And there he comes up with the notion of an agentic state. He says, look, what's happening to these people is they slip into the agentic state. And he explicitly says this is taken directly from Arendt, where they're talking about their obligations to the experimenter and not thinking about what they're doing. And what is interesting is this symbiotic relationship between, if you like, different disciplines, between history, philosophy, psychology, normally very separate. Here, Arendt informs Milgram. Milgram informs Zimbardo. Zimbardo then reflects back and informs Browning. Browning writes a very famous book in the Holocaust literature called Ordinary Men. So that's the orthodoxy then. It's a dominant orthodoxy. It's an orthodoxy in psychology. It's an orthodoxy in history. It's an orthodoxy in the public domain, in the public sphere. And it's that orthodoxy which we want to question and to challenge. In fact, already others are beginning to challenge it. The real questions we need to ask is, who is drawn into these tyrannical groups? How are people transformed by being in these groups? How does leadership gain influence over them? Okay, and this is where our study starts.
Okay, yeah, Steve. So what I'm going to do then, if you like, Steve's provided the backdrop.